It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
The voice for the show, the guy who brings us back, breaks, is actually the first voice you hear when we start the show, is Michael Carroll. Michael Carroll got to see The Long Walk in a screening, or at a screening. He'll talk about that tomorrow with us at 11:30. It's the Stephen King adaptation, a book he wrote a long time ago, turned into a movie. That's what Stephen King gets done, his books, his writings get turned into miniseries and movies, and this is the latest, and getting good reviews. The setup is, in some alternate version of Earth, people walk, as it says, at a certain pace for a prize. I think in this movie, it's 3 miles per hour, and if you are in this walk, it's all like teenage to young adult men, and if you slow down, you get shot. Bleak future, I would say. So Michael will talk about that. It's getting good reviews. Michael enjoyed it. So we'll see what he has to say in full about The Long Walk tomorrow. He'll join us at 11:30. Michael Carroll is the host of Comicast. You can hear that every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, in podcast form, wherever you listen to podcasts. So we'll talk to Michael tomorrow. Okay. The story involving the Clippers continues. We heard from Adam Silver in the previous segment about his views on his product as a whole. He also was asked about the Clippers and the situation. He says the burden of proof is on the NBA. They have to prove that what was revealed in the Pablo Torre podcast about what the Clippers were doing, they have to prove that that is circumventing the salary cap. I don't believe the NBA wants to actually prove this. They don't want this to be a real thing. But now that a reporter, an investigative journalist, has made it a story, they're going to have to look into it, and he's added to it with his latest revelation today. So we all know Steve Ballmer. If you don't, he's the owner of the Clippers, the majority owner of the Clippers. In fact, he owns like 99% of the Clippers. There are other organizations where the percentage of the majority owner is much smaller than that. The 1% that doesn't belong to him belongs to a college friend. In fact, his roommate, Dennis Wong.
If I was Dennis Wong, I'd be like, can I get two? Only 1%?
I don't know.
Unless he has no way of
paying for more than 1%?
Yes, which then I would be like, come on, dude.
Maybe we're
best friends and you have a net worth of like $160 billion. Can give me a no-show job at some point?
Well, maybe he just handed him 1% because he's his best friend. Do we know that Dennis Wong actually bought into this? Maybe he just gave his best friend or his college roommate 1%.
That'd be nice, but I'd also be like, come on, dude.
You want more? How much of that would be reasonable because he's your best friend?
Yeah, known him for 40 years.
5%?
I'd wait 30 years to get 1% of the Clippers.
Well, what does Dennis Wong do when he's not potentially circumventing the salary
cap? The 1% owner of the...
Yeah, I don't know what his real profession is.
Yeah, J-O-B. What's it say?
He went to Harvard Business School.
Oh, okay.
No surprise there. He's on his LinkedIn page. He is the chief executive officer of Verbena Road Holdings, and he has some other businesses as well.
Okay.
But the thing that pops up that you would take note of is he's the vice chairman for the LA Clippers. That is on his LinkedIn as well. So he is 1% minority owner of the Clippers. And in his duties as the minority owner, apparently when Kawhi Leonard took note of Aspiration, the tree planting company that he had a big endorsement deal with, when he took note of them being late on a payment to the tune of $1.75 million, Dennis Wong invested $1.99 million into a company that was going bankrupt. He just said, hey, you know what? Has some of my money, nearly $2 million. Now you might think to yourself, hey, people invest in companies all the time, and maybe he got duped like Ballmer. He thought the company's viable when it wasn't.
Buying the dip.
He had never invested in a company until it became known by people that Kawhi Leonard was waiting for his next payment. He had never put any money in. Ballmer had put his $50 million in previous. The minority owner had never done it. So Kawhi needs some money. He puts money into the company. 9 days later, Kawhi gets paid. It begs us to ask some questions about what Dennis Wong and the Clippers are up to. When Kawhi let it be known through his uncle Dennis that you owe us money.
Hey, it's the 17th. Where's
pay up?
It's first and 15th, baby.
Pay up. And they paid up, and Kawhi got his money 9 days later. Now, there's another aspect of this that we can point to, and maybe we want to draw some conclusions as well. Kawhi, a known injured player, consistently injured, had played very few games in the season up to that point. I think the payment went through in mid-December. I think he had played less than a quarter of the available games. When the payment went through, all of a sudden Kawhi was much more available. Now, that could just be because Kawhi's always injured?
Yeah. That to me is like the strain of like, that is very circumstantial.
Yes.
Because like you said, he's always kind of injured. Yes, you're always trying to work him in slowly.
It'd be a real story if it was Jalen Green, who always plays and decided for some reason he wasn't going to play until he got his money.
And it's like he's doing that for $2 million.
Well, sometimes it's the principle of the matter, Sean.
No, I understand that.
As I heard someone say today, bookie rules. Sometimes there's a standard that is set, and if someone finds out that you can be played with, then it changes your perception around that world. So you don't let people think you getting your money is not that important. Then everyone's not going to pay you.
But they're how late on the payment were they?
They were late enough for a guy to put nearly $2 million in for that money to get paid. They were late enough that there were complaints. That's all. So that's the latest.
And I'm guessing because he got paid, what, $50 million or $40-something million from Aspiration, right?
Well, Kawhi signed a $28 million endorsement deal. That's what we initially thought.
Yeah. Ballmer
put in 50.
That's
and
where
I got. And then Kawhi, it was from a different source, not Pablo Torre, that Kawhi then got another $20 million.
Okay. But so it's probably if he's getting paid every month, it's about $2 million a month. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I could see that of like, hey, I'm not really going to play this month because you didn't pay me. Never mind that the Clippers are still paying me every game. That's the part where it's like, well, you're getting paid much more by the Clippers to show up.
So,
but he's also, again, this is the part where I'm like, the other investor getting a knock on his door from Uncle Dennis and Kawhi being like, pay up, and then immediately paying up. That is, again, this is one of those things where they don't have a smoking gun. It's like, but they have a lot of guns that are still warm. They're not smoking still, but I can feel the barrel that something's went off here. And this isn't like a court of law. Like it doesn't actually have to. They could ring them up on this already, if they really wanted to.
Yeah, and I mentioned before, the commissioner who would be in charge of the ringing of them up said the burden of proof is on the league side to prove
it's
this.
On Pablo Torre.
Well, he just gave them more information. question will be whether the league wants to do anything
it. What have they investigated that Pablo didn't hand to him?
Probably nothing. Probably nothing. Because when we were trying to figure out when this all began, remember, Kawhi, and was made note of at the time, was asking for things that circumvented the salary cap. In fact, people who cover the Raptors are bringing that back to the surface.
Yeah, they're asking. He was asking for crazy.
He asked for ownership of the Maple Leafs. And the Raptors were like, we can't really do that. What? That's not allowed. We can't do that. So Uncle Dennis and Kawhi were asking for a lot back then. It was investigated. It was deemed that nothing was
actually happened.
Yeah. Even with the Clippers, and as I said, I think Adam Silver said he had never heard of Aspiration up until the podcast reporting of it all, which is weird because they have been around the Clippers for quite a bit now.
Yeah, but it also doesn't, you know, if they are just like a fake company beginning that's made up to pay Kawhi Leonard under the table. Like, it's not like he'll have to, when he's at a Clippers game, and I'm sure he's, you know, is shaking hands with the owners, shaking hands to, like, the big money sponsors. I'm not surprised that, like, oh, here's the CEO of Aspiration, this fake tree planting company that works with Kawhi Leonard. Like, I'm not surprised that Adam Silver either never met that guy or doesn't remember meeting that guy, if that guy exists. I imagine it's just, like, some sort of, like, crisis actor in a ill-fitting suit or something, where it's just like, oh, that's the tree planting guy. All right, cool.
So I guess the question would be, should Adam Silver have known that the Clippers signed a $300 million plus arena sponsorship deal with Aspiration? Yeah. Not for naming rights, but there was a deal.
Yeah, there's sponsorship all over arenas. Like Toyota Center. Like,
yeah,
there's
so,
a ton of sponsorships.
So Aspiration's name was in the arena quite a bit. Yeah. If he noticed it or not, who knows? But that is his statement. He didn't know that they existed until a couple weeks ago.
Maybe he thought it was like a motivational poster kind of thing. Because it is just like the word aspiration.
And is there a cat hanging by a string?
Aspiration. Yeah. Well, a caterpillar dreaming of one day being a butterfly. Aspiration.
Whatever he thought, now he should know more right now. I bet you wish he investigated further.
He's listening to Pablo's podcast. That's where he's learning all this stuff from.
I think he gets woken up by the news today and goes, God, no. I thought what I said yesterday was enough.
Puts in his headphones. Like, all right.
I got to believe Pablo Torre is just piecing this information out a little at a time. Anytime there's a response that goes against what he knows is in his back pocket, he just have another one. And see how you respond. We'll see. Luckily for Adam Silver, I don't know that he has to speak again soon. So maybe he won't have to get up publicly and look rather silly. We will see.
Probably like opening night.
Yeah.
Right?
We're in September, so training camp's like not that far away. I don't know if he has to speak about anything until opening night. We'll see about that. But there it is. The Clippers seem to be in a bit of trouble if the NBA wants to make trouble. That'll be the question. Does the NBA want to make this a thing or not?
Yeah. And it is funny that there's like a response of like, do the owners want Ballmer to get popped on this? And there's a little bit of like, oh, every owner must be doing it. And then there's like very, very well-sourced reporters that are like, no, not every, like a lot of people, a lot of team officials I talk to are like, no one does this. Yeah, like
not to this level. In fact, the Raptors said, no, we can't.
Yeah, and they're like, no, because they saw what happened to the T-Wolves with Joe Smith back in like the late 90s.
And that was just simply, hey, take a little money now.
They had a wink-wink deal.
Take a little money now.
Yeah, that wasn't cap circumvention. That was, or it kind of was. But it was, basically, we'll sign you to a lower deal right now, but wink-wink, we'll make it right to you in the end. And they had that in an email. And so
never write it down.
Yeah. That happens, by the way.
There was
still an
assumption that's what happened when the Rockets traded for Chris Paul.
Yeah.
That, hey, we're going to make good, make you right.
That happened, De'Aaron Fox's deal. Like, that's why the Spurs signed De'Aaron Fox.
And that's why he agreed.
Even after winning, not winning the lottery, getting second in the lottery and drafting a point guard.
Because they let him know.
Well, a deal's a deal, De'Aaron. A deal's a deal.
And he got his deal, and now there's some questions about their backcourt overall. All right, we'll go to break with that. But before we do, let's talk about Monument Chevrolet. They got some great deals going right now. I got word of them yesterday, recorded some spots for them. But some of the things you can look forward to if you're looking for a vehicle right now, particularly an electric vehicle, they have potentially for you a $7,500 federal tax credit when you buy an EV. And that may be something that appeals to you. They have a wide selection of EV vehicles you can take a look at. Just go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and see all they have to offer. Maybe you're really looking for that Blazer, that EV Blazer. It's there for you. See the color you want, the model you want, and then head on to Monument Chevrolet to take advantage of it. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, and they've been in business for over 50 years. So they haven't been selling EVs for over 50 years. They just haven't been around that long, but they have been selling great vehicles for you. And right now it's truck month. So if you're looking for maybe that Silverado 1500, they've got a great low interest rate of 2.9% over the next 72 months, or for 72 months, excuse me. And that's a vehicle that's widely available for you as well. So they got great new vehicles, got a pre-owned inventory you can take a look at as well, and great deals on those vehicles. So the website is monumentchevrolet.com. Find a vehicle and price you want, and then head to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225 and get the car you want and deal with great people who will make sure the car buying experience is one that is enjoyable. MonumentChevrolet.com And as always, remember this. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
Sean, when I say Pat Bev was almost a rocket, what's your first feeling?
He was a rocket, Dell.
Almost a rocket again, excuse me.
Oh, really? In 2022?
2025.
Oh.
According to Pat Bev, at least.
Okay. So he would have gone from the Israeli League to the Rockets?
According to him, he was on his podcast. And in this case, he has a podcast, but he was on a Twitch stream. And, you know, we have this motto that sometimes people just be saying stuff. Put a mic in front of them. Yeah. They just be saying stuff.
Yeah. Hey, everyone has a podcast. You got to fill the time.
So you can question whether he's just out here just saying stuff, but this is the quote. I was in Houston working out with the Rockets for the last 2-3 weeks. I was really close, but with the cap, they don't have a lot of space. They can't really guarantee because I think they first apron, but I was really, really close.
He is right. They are close to the first apron. They don't have enough spot for a veteran minimum. So he is right there.
So wouldn't that have been pretty clear that they didn't have any money for him? I would think, right? I think they know their finances.
Yes. If there's one thing I know Rafael Stone is on top of, it's the finances.
So how close were you really? Did they give you an impression they would trade a player away to make room for you and not take any salary back? So how close could it have possibly been?
Yeah, maybe it's a instead of... instead of Josh Okogie, that could have been Pat Bev. Like, the last free agent that they signed, it could have been Pat Bev. Because do we know the time frame of when he was working out here for a couple weeks?
So, his quote is, I was in Houston working out with the Rockets for the last 2-3 weeks.
Oh.
And
there's no chance. Because Josh Okogie got signed.
So, I don't...
2 months ago.
So, if this was earlier in the offseason, then I would... lend this some credence. But if it was literally late August into September, then there was no room for you.
No. Maybe, you know, hey, if we ever need a 10-day guy, we'll keep you in mind. But I think this falls into guys just be saying stuff. Or at the very least, like, he could have been working out here.
I'm not saying he's off on that.
It seems like he would fit a Ime Udoka coach team attitude-wise.
Can he guard anymore, though? Attitude-wise, sure. But can he guard anymore? Because if he could guard people still, would he be? Is he such a big problem that he has to wind up in the Israeli league? I remember reporting of him getting a giant deal. I'm not sure if that was true or not, but if Pat Beverly could still be a good on-ball defender, someone would sign him, even if it's simply to the veteran minimum.
Yeah.
That'd be something he could earn.
He's 37.
Yeah, who's he guarding now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even if he did get signed, it wouldn't be as like an actual
rotation player.
No, it would be a Vince Carter,
Udonis Haslam. I got one more in me.
What?
You got Unk type, one more in me. He can just sit around and be a veteran presence.
Yeah. I figure that's what it'd be for, but not on the Rockets. It wouldn't.
Nah. They don't have the space. So he was on a stream with Neon. You can take that for what it's worth. But he did work. He did say he worked out. That, I imagine, could be, it's verifiable. I'm sure he did. But being very close would suggest they had the money, and I don't believe they do. But there it is. It could have been Pat Bev, you know, if two other players weren't on the roster. And aren't the Rockets, like, way over as it is? How many roster spots do they have left?
I think they're full.
Yeah, I think they're full.
I think Okogie was the last guy. So that's why I was like, if it's Okogie or Pat Bev, I can see that maybe being, you know, yeah, but, a coin flip.
But he's 10 years younger than Pat Bev.
And played in the league last year.
Yeah, he was not playing overseas like Pat Bev was. So
yeah, so I don't know. I mean, Pat Bev. Just be saying stuff.
Yeah, yeah, we're just saying stuff.
We already got another guy who kind of every once in a while just says stuff, just type stuff at the very least.
He does type a lot of stuff.
He also averages 28 per game on 50-40-90.
He almost can type whatever he wants, considering what he does on the
really
court.
Don't really care.
Just kind of do whatever you want.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
In all aspects. Don't change anything.
Yeah.
It seems to be working.
Yeah. Maybe play 65 games. That's all we're asking for in the regular season,
that's
right?
That's it. And then, just one less ankle sprain a year.
Yeah. You know what? I'm looking for Kevin Durant to play just the amount of games that allows him to qualify for awards, which is 65. And I don't need to see him for 82 or even just 70.
Pull in a All-NBA second or third team.
If that is something he so wants.
Or just be eligible so we can have the segments arguing for
and talk about how he was great for the 65 games and how he got screwed?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. We'll go to break with that.
Or Şengün stole votes away from him. Because you have to have a Rocket.
That's true. Is AJ still in there?
Yeah.
AJ, do you think Pat Bev would have been a Rocket? Or you think he would just be saying stuff? I want to see if we get a clean sweep on this. Is he just saying stuff? Or do you believe he could have been a Rocket?
He's just yapping.
Thank you. 3-0. He just yapped.
I mean, it is Pat Bev. That's kind of what he does.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a spot for him, honestly, now that I look at this roster.
it's tough to find a spot for the 38-year-old point guard who
pretty difficult.
Even when he was on the James Harden Rockets was like, hey, you're kind of the spot up. Yeah, you weren't a great shooter, but you weren't the point guard the way that James Harden was really the point guard on those teams. Oh, it's hard to find a role for that guy.
Let me put it in this context. The Rockets are a serious contender for a title. And okay, you can see why they might not want him. All the spots are full. But if they think you're good enough to be close, but the money wasn't right, wouldn't you think someone else would come sign him?
There's like at least 25 teams that are worse than the Rockets.
Yes, why wouldn't if the Rockets think you might be a valued addition, why wouldn't someone else?
Yeah, and especially, you know, because we're saying, yeah, maybe just as like the veteran presence, unk role. A lot more teams that need an unk than the Rockets are kind of teetering on to the other side of they might be an unk team with some young guys. You're telling me the Wizards couldn't use someone to, hey, you know, Bub Carrington, let me put my arm around you, tell you how things really work in this league.
I'm not. Hey, I don't know his status among the players, but the perception from the outside is no one wants Pat Beverly putting their arm around anybody.
Spurs could use him.
For who? Who do the Spurs want Patrick Beverly to mentor?
I mean, Victor.
Okay. I'm sure those two. Generational.
Yeah. I know you spent 2 weeks with the Shaolin Monks, but let me tell you how it really works, Vic.
The generational talent who spends off seasons, as you say, with the Monks, or the scrappy, had to get it out of the mud, Pat Beverly, who's now 37, 38 years old. I'm sure there's a lot to be taught.
Yeah.
Because their experiences are very much the same.
No, it's a cultural. No, that's why. It's here's how I see things from my point of view down here at 6'1" point guard land.
I don't know who the Spurs official general manager is. Is it still Buford? I would say I don't want Pat Beverly telling Wembanyama how he sees things. Victor sees things just fine.
Let me tell you what I learned in the Israeli league.
Nope. No lessons from Patrick Beverly to Wembanyama. If I need a veteran presence, I'll just have the guy who's in the starting lineup with. Fox, teach him all the lessons of a vet. That's all I'm looking for.
So he only brings 50s to the club. Don't bring 100s. There's no need to bring
100s. This is what I'm talking about.
That's like, I love that when we say like veteran mentorship, what people think is like NBA life or NBA schedule stuff, a lot of it is just like, hey, that girl is not actually that interested in you.
Be aware. You're tall. You got a lot of money. Those are the clues. Take it from there.
Patrick Beverly's like, James Johnson gets to be in the league still. I don't.
Well, James Johnson is scary. Who's telling him he doesn't have a roster spot? You're less scary. And
I like the idea that the GM of the Pacers is just like, gosh, we could really use James Johnson's roster spot, but I don't want to have to call him in my office and tell him that.
Yeah, who's telling James Johnson?
The guy's a black belt.
Who's telling him he's no longer wanted around the facility?
This pin I have in my hand, he could kill me with it.
It's better just to let James Johnson retire when he wants. That's all.
Go out on his terms.
Pat Beverly is a different story. Tell him you don't want him and you're just fine.
Complain on a podcast.
The least likely organization to have him is the Spurs. The Spurs.
A lot of
Patrick
young guys
Beverly.
need a mentor.
Maybe Pop at some
point. Steph Castle. Who's going to guide Stephon Castle?
Pick someone. But not Patrick Beverly. I don't care. Someone. Anyone. What's Tony Parker up to? He wants to be around? Tell him. Well, Tony would have different advice. Like,
Yeah.
What's your co-worker's wife look like?
All right.
That would be Tony's advice. Allegedly.
If there's a fight in the club, get down. Protect your eyes.
Tony had his moments. Also a great player. All right, we'll go to break with that. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And it's Thursday night. You know what that means? There's some gridiron action that you can get in on. Terry McLaurin has a Taco Thursday discount just because the good folks at Prize Picks are so nice that they're trying to help you out a little bit. His projection was 54.5 receiving yards, now just 34.5 receiving yards as he takes on the Packers. You also got Jayden Reed, also 37.5 passing yards. He was a target last week for a long touchdown from Jordan Love. Maybe you think Jordan Love has another one in him, or at the very least, he's going to find Jayden Reed again. Maybe you think this is the game that Matthew Golden makes his entrance into the NFL. Maybe you'd go anytime rushing receiving touchdown with him. Obviously, you got Jayden Daniels on the other side of the field. Gonna rack up yards. Look good. No sophomore slump so far this year. Or maybe, hey, got Astros baseball happening this afternoon. Let's see what Yordan Alvarez's projection is. Maybe think Yordan Alvarez. We talked about how hot he's been to start or since coming back from injury. Maybe think that continues here this afternoon, or maybe think that Christian Javier is going to strike out more than 3.5 Toronto Blue Jays. Whatever you want, whatever sport you want, whether it's esports, whether it's college football, whether it's professional football, baseball, basketball, when that comes around, you can find it on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Final segment here with us. Before we get to the Rich Eisen show, if you want to join us, you can. 713-780-3776. So, Joe Corey of CBS Sports did something pretty interesting. He created the ultimate 53-man roster when you include all the things that come into play when you're building a real NFL roster. It's not just you pick every great player and you say, I'll take these 53 against the rest of the league and see what happens.
He did, it's not the all-pro team.
Yeah, basically. He did salary cap. He did draft considerations. He did quite a bit. So it's pretty interesting to go through. And two guys from the Texans who make the list are Will Anderson and Nico Collins. Nico Collins, we know, as far as wide receiver deals are concerned, when we talk about the best players, he's got a team-friendly deal. He didn't want to push it. He signed it before his most recent big year, so he only had 1 year of being a really good player, which would lessen the amount you get paid. So he took a deal, and that worked out for the Texans. Of course, Will Anderson's on a rookie deal, so it makes sense to have an elite pass rusher. We talked about Will Anderson's PFF grade. As far as pass rushers over week one who won just their pass rush win rate, he ranked fourth behind Josh Uche, Nick Bonito, and Trey Hendrickson, and Daniel Hunter's in that list as well, but he is, let's say, not fairly compensated for his talent. That's going to come pretty quickly, so it makes sense to throw Will Anderson on there. Those are the two Texans that make the list. Stingley didn't make the list because Sauce Gardner's APY is less than Stingley's. If Stingley was a little cheaper, he would make it. I know the never-ending battle between who's the best corner from that draft will continue, I guess, until they both retire. It really all depends on who drafted who and who you root for. Texan fans have the advantage right now because Derek Stingley was great last year. Sauce Gardner doesn't take the ball away very much. Stingley ahead. You win that one after it felt like that was going the Sauce Gardner way. So just looking at it, who would you guess if you had to think, Sean?
Who'd be next?
Who would be let's go with the quarterback, the starting quarterback for the ultimate 53-man team. You had to take into account performance, what they cost, and when you'd have to pay them later. Who do you think? Who you think is the quarterback who made this list?
I mean, you could just save a lot of money by having it be a
that happened
rookie quarterback.
He did pick someone who would save the roster and the cap from cap hell. He's playing tonight.
Jordan Love already got paid, so it's Jaden Daniels.
He did pick Jaden Daniels. Thinks he can possibly be an MVP candidate, but mostly it was, hey, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, maybe really good, and he doesn't cost very much. So he made the list. He saved on quarterback.
Yeah, just thinking about guys, like the Sando quarterback tier guys.
Yeah.
Well, basically all of them have gotten paid except for Jaden Daniels. All the ones in the top 10 have gotten paid except for Jaden Daniels. So.
Yeah, I mentioned Nico as one of the wide receivers. He went with Justin Jefferson, Nico, and Puka. That's where you save your money with Puka.
Because he's a fifth round guy.
Fifth rounder making $1.1 million this season. And speaking of a guy who, I know the baseball thing is unfair. Baseball players, unless they get an early deal from their team, but it's set up where these great players are underpaid when they're young.
They make the minimum for 3 years.
Yeah. Puka, fifth rounder. As we're talking a guy who can be an all pro this year.
Yeah. He took that hit from Henry Toa to make $1 million this year.
Yeah. And when it comes time for him to ask for his money, they're going to bring up missing games, so on and so forth. And
he'll bring up, CeeDee Lamb's contract and A.J. Brown and be like,
and Devontae's older. I'm young and I'm your number one. Yeah. Pay me my money.
They're 100% going
to
pay him.
Oh, they're going to pay him. But you know. When they try to win on the edges, it'll be, hey, you miss time from time to time. You don't play 15 games a year, Puka.
But he's like, hey, Kawhi Leonard also missed time until aspirations started cutting those checks on time. All right. maybe I could plant some trees too. Wink, wink.
What fake tree planting service will the Rams have to get involved to get Puka his money off the books? Yeah, he played 17 in 2023. That's, of course, when he broke on the scene. Only 11 last year.
Yeah.
And if we're going by the hit he took in week one, I don't know if he's going to get to 17 this year.
Yeah. And he's a guy who just, like, he plays like that, too.
He plays like a guy. I don't say he embraces contact.
He puts his body out.
But he puts his body on the line. Yeah. And sometimes it results in missing six games in your second season. So
he's a guy I wouldn't be surprised just, like, misses two or three games a year just off of stuff like that, you know, ribs and shoulders and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the case for him. All right, so we got Commanders and Packers tonight.
Good Thursday game.
That's good. That's a good one. We'll see about the quality of play considering the short week. And we also have like Wake Forest versus NC State. If you're not a sicko for college football, it probably is not going to pique your interest. I just love all that Tobacco Road nonsense where they have hate for each other that I don't understand because I'm not from the area. But you'll see like signs that have to be explained to you. Like, oh, what's that? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like that's private school versus state school stuff.
I kind of get that the NC State's kind of the more redneck school.
That's what it appears. And,
yes.
And Wake Forest maybe gets more northerners to go to their school.
Yes. And same with Duke.
Yeah.
They're more the like kind of posh private schools.
Yeah.
And then UNC is the posh public school.
Posh public school. NC State's like the redheaded, no pun, but redheaded stepchild of Tobacco Road.
Exactly. Yeah. And this, you know. NC State should beat Wake Forest, but I haven't exactly
and
been blown
sure
away.
And we're sure this is a conference game, right? Because the ACC has a history of having teams play each other that are in conference but don't result in conference games because maybe another team backed out. So they go, hey, you know what? You guys are pretty close in vicinity. Let's play each other. Because that's happened with North Carolina and Wake Forest before where they played like two games in a season. One was a non-conference game and one was an actual conference game. We're sure this is an actual ACC game, right? It's pretty week three. It's relatively early for that, but it happens from time to time.
Let's see what CBS Sports.
I think it's an ACC game.
Yeah, it starts an ACC matchup, takes center stage.
Okay.
But they are just two ACC matchups.
We don't know that it's actually a conference game. I think the ACC is the only conference that happens to.
Big 12 has done it, or will do it, I think, sometime in the future. And the Alamo Bowl last year was BYU Colorado.
That was the case.
Yeah. So I think from perusing this article, they don't, because it would be something they bring up of like, this isn't actually
a little
an ACC
quirk
game.
That they would mention.
Yeah. It looks like this is an ACC game. See ACC non-conference games.
While you're figuring that out, the 49ers won their game in week one. It's got to be a bad feeling to know that you got to deal with Mac Jones as your starter for the next couple weeks. If you don't know, Brock Purdy has turf toe. He did finish the game, and this is something I talked about earlier in the week where guys finish games and then they wind up not being available in the next week and you're surprised by it. Well, Brock Purdy fits that. He's got turf toe among other things, so he won't play on Sunday, and he may not be around for a little while. That hurts. You start off 1-0, you win a divisional game, and then you got to deal with Mac Jones. Mac Jones, who was a Jaguar last year, didn't cover himself in glory. He does fit the profile of the 49er quarterback. The guys that they've had start and go win games. I mean, the one guy who doesn't fit is Trey Lance, and he's still trying to find his way in the NFL. Like Garoppolo, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy has certainly superseded those guys and got paid by the 49ers. But Mac Jones is right there. And hell, Mac Jones is the first-round pick, but it's the what you would consider system quarterback who on its face doesn't look like he should be starting games. Brock Purdy has broken the mold. And he was certainly the more athletic of all the three guys I mentioned. But Mac Jones still starting games in the NFL. Sure, it's due to injury, but that's the second year in a row. He's been able to start games in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's a bad spot if I'm a 49er fan.
What's interesting, too, is that it's reported or was reported that Mac Jones was the guy that Kyle Shanahan really liked in that draft.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was a little bit of like, dude, you cannot trade three first-round picks to get Mac Jones.
Instead,
you have to take the gamble on the talent of Trey Lance.
People were like, we understand that because the high ceiling of Trey Lance.
Yeah, so what? He's never thrown a football before. So what? Not never threw a football before.
But he had very limited starting experience.
Like 30 passes in college, and I think even went to a high school that ran the wing T, which that's more understandable if you got Trey Lance taking snaps. And I think he went to a very small Big Sky school, not for college, but in high school. Like he's from like
so the story
an
is,
area that doesn't play full football.
He had a full year, I believe in 2019, of playing quarterback, and then COVID hit. And North Dakota State didn't play a lot of football that year. In fact, I think they scheduled a game just to showcase Trey Lance.
So, yeah, it was like a scrimmage almost.
Yeah, so over the course of a certain amount of time, he had only thrown a certain number of passes. And it's not typical of a first-round pick that has that little experience. Unless your name is Anthony Richardson, and we saw how that turned out. And the Trey Lance is just like that
yeah,
as well.
Maybe there's a lesson to be learned here.
Maybe take quarterbacks who you have a lot of film on to make a decision before you trade multiple first-round picks for him?
I might need, I don't know, 400 passes in college to...
There should be a certain number that they reach before you decide. Yeah, something like that before you decide to take them.
And yeah, give me at least one full year of actually passing the ball. So not one full year starting, one full year of actually passing.
So while his granddaddy said he wasn't coming out anyway, is Arch going to get the 400 attempts before the season's over? Combined? Do you think?
He was at 90 coming. So probably. He'll probably get 300 this year. How much did he throw last week?
That's your guy. I don't
know.
Can we
get stats and info on that? You weren't watching?
No, I had it in the four box at one point. Then I realized I don't care about this.
and then you checked your phone and you looked up. It was 28-0.
Yeah, I'm out of here. What am I doing?
Get this off my screen. I trust these guys at this point.
I trust the defense enough. They're not going to blow it.
That's what got the party started was some short fields and converting those. He had 295 passing yards.
So if you include a likely playoff appearance,
he'll get the
400. Yeah. The playoffs are not guaranteed, but we expect Texas to make the playoff. He's going to get the 400-plus throws this year because Quinn last year was at 445, and he missed games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was going to say we're going to go to break, but we're just going to go. We're done.
Is a break.
It's a break for me until
20-something hour break. No, actually less than that.
Yeah, what are we talking about? I got that other job I got to do.
I forget about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I got to deal with the Hall of Famers tomorrow. All right, we're done for the day. Rich Eisen is up next. He's followed by Jeremy and Joe. Is that the name? It's Jeremy and Joe, not Joe and Jeremy?
Jeremy and Joe, Jeremy yes. And Rich Eisen's show got Mike Florio, Mina Kimes, and your guy, Kyle MacLachlan.
How's that my guy? Because he's an actor?
Yeah, I don't know.
My guy, Kyle MacLachlan.
Took a shot that you'd like him.
I think he was at like a football game of the weekend. Maybe the Cal or... Oh, no, it was the Washington game.
Or no, Washington.
He was at the Washington
with Joe
game.
McHale.
It was Joe McHale, somewhat drunk, talking about his Huskies. All right, we're done. Rich Eisen's next. I'll talk to you tomorrow. But since we're done, Sean, what does that mean? If Jason Alexander isn't your hero yet, he should be. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.